God bless you, and thank you for your patience tonight. We're all learning, and we continue to learn week by week, and I think we're learning and walking this walk together. We're blessed that you can join us this evening. We'd ask you to open your Bibles to the book of Revelation, chapter 3, and there's just a few verses that we're going to look at, starting in verse 7, and it has to do with the church at Philadelphia. And as many of you are aware, we have started this study in Revelation, and if you're joining us for the first time, again, thank you for being a part of this ministry. I know you'll be encouraged. We all will be encouraged tonight. Revelation is a book that so many people, unfortunately, have stayed away from. For whatever reason, there's not really a good reason. Because in Revelation chapter 1 and verse 3, the Bible tells us, Jesus tells us that if we read this book, if we hear this book, the words of it, and if we obey it, there's a great blessing for us. He also helps us in chapter 1, verse 19, by communicating to us, in this book, there's three divine outlines, or one outline is described in three ways. Chapter 1 is about Jesus. 2 and 3, it's about his church. And then chapter 4 through the end, it's about what happens to the very end. And it's very much a blessing. Brotherly love is what this message is about, the faithful church. And we need to understand more about brotherly love right now. Our nation is in great turmoil. And if it doesn't sadden your heart and break your heart, I would wonder why it wouldn't. It should. It's sad to see all that is taking place. Such violence and such hatred being demonstrated. I miss my dad. After my dad came home from World War II, he became an officer with the Los Angeles Police Department, and he served there for 30 years, retired after being a sergeant and involved in various different departments, but I miss him. And after he retired and he came up to visit us here, he demonstrated brotherly love to me. You see, I grew up in a Roman Catholic church and family and very committed, and my parents were great examples. They sacrificed greatly to send all 9 of their children to parochial school. So it must have been strange to see his son become a Protestant pastor, a Protestant minister. But what encouraged me is when he sat next to me when he visited one time at our Sunday service. And afterwards, I remember him just putting his hand on my shoulder, and he said to me, "Tommy, I'm proud of you. You're right where you need to be." And that was huge. And that was a big heart. And that demonstrated brotherly love. Brotherly love is when we get over ourselves and we become concerned about other people. We say goodbye to selfish ambitions and we say hello to what it is to live a surrendered life for Jesus Christ. It's when we no longer want to retaliate, but Jesus says, "Bless those that curse you and bless those that despitefully use you." And our prayer at this time is that all of us would be drawn closer to Jesus Christ, to experience his love and his forgiveness and his grace and his mercy. Because when he's looking at the churches at the end of the first century, and he has an opportunity to take his beloved disciple John and impart the messages to these 7 churches, literal churches, but that message that was given at the end of the first century is a message that is given to us today. These messages are for us today as a church and as individuals. and we need to hear the message from the heart of Jesus regarding what it is to be a man, to be a woman filled with the love of God, the love of Christ, and to be a church that demonstrates brotherly love at this time. Not compromising love, not accommodating love, but sincere, godly love. Follow with me, if you would, in the book of Revelation, chapter 3, and in verse 7, it begins by saying to us, "And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things says he who is holy, he who is true, he who has the key of David, he who opens and no one shuts, and he who shuts and no one opens." What we see here today in this first verse is Jesus is speaking. He's giving a letter to the pastors. The pastors are communicating this message. And to me as a pastor, I'm communicating it today. And I pray that the Spirit of God is reaching into our hearts, ministering to us, showing us the things that are right in our relation with God and the things that are wrong. And I'm wondering if, even before we end this message, are you willing to repent as we go through and the Spirit of God speaks to you? Are you willing to repent of things in your life that God wants to make right? I pray that you and I would be willing to do that. You see, when we see he who is true, what we're talking about is Jesus Christ. And before we get to he who is true, it tells us he who is holy. And Jesus was holy at his birth. The angel said in Luke 1:35, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God." Jesus Christ was holy at his birth. Jesus Christ was holy in his resurrection in Hebrews 7:26. "For such a high priest is fitting for us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled." Jesus Christ was holy in his death. "For you will not leave my soul in Hades, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption." If we're going to talk about brotherly love, and we're going to refer to the one who is filled with uncompromising, holy love, we need to see that Jesus Christ is truly God, truly the one filled with holiness. He said to be holy as he is holy. He is called the sinless one. The Bible gives a testimony of the holiness of Jesus in 1 Peter 2:22. It says, "Jesus committed no sin, nor was any deceit found in his mouth." Jesus is holy. Even the demons, that's right, even hell itself testified in Mark 1:24, the demonic realm said, "Let us alone. What do we have to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? Did you come to destroy us? I know who you are. You're the Holy One of God." So even the demonic realm recognizes Jesus as God, God in human flesh. Listen, there's no excuse for someone to deny Jesus Christ as being the one and true and living Holy God, Redeemer and Savior of the world. If the demonic realm recognizes him, it gives us no excuse not to recognize him. Heaven's testimony about Jesus. "The angel answered and said to her, 'The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born is to be called the Son of God.'" And Jesus himself, in John 8:46, he said, "Which of you convicts me of sin?" There was no sin. There was no unholiness in him. He says, "If I say the truth, why do you not believe?" And I would echo the comment that Jesus said in John 8. If he's claiming to be the truth, what's keeping you from believing him. My friends, the answer to all of life's problems is found in Jesus Christ. He is the way, the truth, and the life. If the answers for life were not found completely and entirely in Jesus Christ, I'd walk off this platform at this moment and I would be done with the ministry of the Word of God. It would be worthless. But my friends, celebrate. It's not. It is the living Word of God. And God is in control. Even though life is out of control, even though our nation is out of control, even though health is out of control, many things are out of control, God is in control. He is in charge. He is not worried. He is not overwhelmed. He's not filled with anxieties or concern. As a matter of fact, he's filled with love for you and me. Filled with love. He's using all this time to draw us near to himself. My friends, the Bible indicates to us, based on the words of Jesus, that we are living in the last of the last days. Jesus, answering his disciples, they said, "What will it be like in the days that we live in right now?" So 2,000 years ago, a question was asked to Jesus. Jesus, tell us about the end days. The end of time. And Jesus said, first of all, don't be deceived. And what do you see throughout the news and the media and any source of a social platform that you look at? You look at things with skepticism. You'll say, is this true or not? Is it something to believe? Because deception is widespread like never before. The world is getting set up for a one world leader. And a one-world religious leader. That's what's happening right now. Jesus said things would happen, and they would happen like a woman in pregnancy towards the day of birth, where the birth pains would be right on top of each other, and they would be with great intensity. And he said in Matthew 24, there's going to be wars and rumors of wars. He said nation will be against nation. He spoke about ethnic groups against ethnic groups. He spoke about pestilences being worldwide, which would be what COVID and other things are. Worldwide diseases, they would be famines as well. And then he also said, and listen up, that there would be great earthquakes. And we track earthquakes and we know they happen. But my friends, I'm not speaking prophetically. I'm not saying, thus says the Lord. But I'm saying, it would not surprise me if the next thing we see in a rather short period of time is a very devastating earthquake that causes great amount of chaos, because everything that's happening is happening with intensity, it's happening with frequency, it's happening back to back, and it's coming right out of Matthew 24. All that to be said, does that change your heart? Does it make you want to seek the real truth? Jesus says, I'm holy and I'm truthful. Again, in the testimony, he says that he is true. It's a comfort to be reminded that at least one thing is for real. Listen now, when we talk about deception, wait a minute. One thing is for real. When you trust Jesus Christ, you got what is really real. He's real. Salvation's real. Prayer is real. Grace is real. Heaven is real. His presence is real. His word is real. His power is real, because Jesus is real. And we need to look to him. And he's identifying himself. He's speaking to this church of Philadelphia. He's identifying who he is to them. He says that he has the key of David. And we realize that he has the authority over everything. As a matter of fact, he will sit on the throne of David for the millennium, 1,000 years, but today he's sovereign and he's sitting at the right hand of the Father waiting for his enemies to be made his footstool. My friends, there is an end to all of this. Be hopeful. As a Christian, this is not our home. We're passing through. I'm a citizen of the United States, but I have dual citizenship. The Bible says my citizenship is in heaven, and my identity is with Christ. My identity isn't with anything other than Christ. And because my identity is with Christ, I can have fellowship with others who also have identified with Christ. Do not find your identity, do not find your purpose in this world, in the things of this world. Find your identity in the one who is holy and true and who has complete authority over all that is going on. I'm speaking about Jesus. He's identifying himself to us right here. The same Jesus in the gospel that healed the lepers, that forgave the sinners, that raised the dead, the same Jesus is being identified here for us in Revelation chapter 3. He is the one today who is able to open doors, and I thank God for that. Because through this difficult time we're in, God has opened up doors. He's opened up doors for us to communicate to you. Some of you that are listening, this is a new open door God has allowed. Even though through the COVID-19, great difficulties, we're sad for over 100 people in the United States that have died, and many have been sick, and we're sad about that. And it's caused all of us to make major adjustments in our lives. We understand that. But when we understand that God is causing all things to work together for the good, then we no longer complain or be arrogant or be critical. We say, God, what are you doing? What do you want to do in my life? And I've said this often, and I'll say it again without any apologies. When we're able to come back, and I pray that you're able to join us, I pray Sunday morning is like this right here. We have a wonderful facility that God's given to us. And I have a message called His Essential Church for Sunday morning, 10 o'clock here. Check our website. If the weather's not cooperating, we'll be online. But pray for that. Pray that we can get back together. Join us Monday night for prayer here, 7 o'clock. I'm wondering, are you a changed person? Have you been changed by the grace of God and by the Word of God and the Spirit of God? When we get back together, is your spiritual walk stronger and your testimony of the Spirit of God living within you greater? Or are you maintaining? Or have you gone backwards? Things can change tonight. Yes, it's almost been 3 months. And maybe you're not in that best place, but you're listening tonight. And God can change things right now. He can make this night the best night by repenting, asking for His forgiveness, saying, God, I want to be about what you have for me to be about. We continue on that open door, looking for those open doors, thanking God for everything. He tells us in the Word of God in verse 8, He says, I know your works. I've set before you an open door, no one can shut it. You have a little strength, you've kept my word, you've not denied my name. So there's three things right there. Three things, just hold on to these three things that Jesus gives to us. He says, I know your works, so He knows everything going on. And He's the one that sets before us an open door. But there's three things He's looking at. Here are the three things. When He looks at your life, He's not looking for you to be proud, be boastful. He's not looking for you to say all the great things that you have done. He said, be careful. Because anything we do, it's God doing it in us and through us for His glory. We get the privilege of being a vessel of honor for Him. We thank God for that. God loves it when we humble ourselves and we say, God, I am weak and I don't have what is needed. I don't have that strength, really. I need your help, God. I need your power. I need your Holy Spirit. I need your wisdom. God, I make it day by day. In many ways, I feel like I'm just hanging on, and I call out to you. And you meet me there, You meet me in my desperate, declared dependency upon you. I have little strength. Paul said, in my weakness, I'm made strong. And Paul says, if that's the way that I'm going to experience the power and the grace of God, then I will continue to be weak. I will continue to be infirmed. I will continue to suffer if the result of it is meeting more of your grace and more of your power and more of your strength. My friends, we have little strength. This church that Jesus is giving great encouragement to, he has nothing corrective to say about it, but it's a church of brotherly love, realizing that our capacity to love others comes from God. It doesn't come from ourselves. It doesn't come from programs. It comes from God. Be dependent upon God. Call out to God. I don't know how I'm going to make it, God, but you will see me through. He loves to hear those prayers. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want, because he will be our strength. The second thing is, they've kept my word. Paul, at the end of his life, he talked about that he finished. He said, I kept the faith. Will you keep the faith? Are you keeping his word? My heart was broken when I found a statistic today. Fewer than 1 in 4 Americans, 24%, now believe the Bible is the actual word of God and is to be taken literally. Only 24%. So 76% don't believe that to be true. I believe it to be true. I believe the word of God is truthful. That's why we not only teach from it, but through it. And it's not the things that I don't know about the word of God, because I'm learning all the time. It's but what I do know. And with what I do know about God and his word, am I obeying it? Am I yielding to it? Am I keeping his word? He's saying, men and women and boys and girls, he's saying this: ask God for your strength. It's not by our power, it's not by our might, but it's by the Spirit of God. Ask for his strength. Don't just be somebody that reads the word. Be a person, a follower of Jesus that keeps the word. And he tells us here, you've not denied my name. This is a time where the name of Jesus needs to be made known. Quit shying away. People need to hear. They need to know that you believe in Jesus Christ. They need to hear that. Jesus tells us that if we deny him, he'll deny us before the Father. We need to uphold him. Revelation 1:3, it told us that blessed are those who hear the words of this book. Revelation 22, at the end of the book of Revelation, Jesus says, I testify to everyone who hears the words of this prophecy. If anyone adds things to them, God will add plagues that are written in the book. And if anyone takes away the words of this prophecy, God will take away his part from the book of life, from that holy city. God is saying, this book is truthful. This is the book we need. And if you take something out or you add something to it, Jesus says you're living very dangerously and your eternity is at stake. He's communicated everything we need to know about God and about living for God to us. Philippians 2:9-11. God has highly exalted him and given him the name above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow. In Acts 4:12 is also the name of a couple churches in California. They've really been an encouragement as they've stayed strong during this time. But Acts 4:12 says, nor is there salvation in any other, for there's no other name under heaven given amongst men by which we must be saved. No other name. No other name. Not Joseph Smith, not Muhammad, not Buddha, not any crazy other deity out there. There's no other name. It's the name of Jesus. And he's able to do that because of his blood. Therefore, Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood. In 1 Peter 1:18 and 19, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold from your aimless conduct received by traditions from your fathers, listen, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot. That's why we can say there's no other name, because he gave his life and he shed his blood for our sins. Just a couple more verses. Verse 9, I indeed will make those of the synagogue of Satan who say they are Jews and are not, but lie. Indeed, I will make them come and worship before your feet and to know that I've loved you. It isn't the fact that you say that you're a Christian. Your life reveals the fact whether you are or not. And he's saying to us, there were at that time even Jews that many of them came to Christ and were following Christ, but others were not, and they stayed back. And their religion was not the religion of the true and the living God. And he's saying specifically, it's a synagogue of Satan. Listen, Jesus says, you're going to say, didn't we do this in your name? Didn't we prophesy? Didn't we cast out demons? Didn't we heal many people in your name? And Jesus said in Matthew 7, I'm sorry, I never knew you. You use my name, but I never knew you. You used my name. You did things in my name, but we never had a relationship. I know your heart. And those are sobering words from Jesus in Matthew chapter 7. And you know what's a great testimony at the end of verse 9? Because when people see the way that Jesus loves you, when people see you and you're hurting and you're brokenhearted and you're downcast, but you receive comfort from God, from his word, you pray in Jesus' name, and they see that your life is strong during a crisis. They see that even though you're weary and tired, you still show love, you care, you reach out. And it doesn't matter whether or not you know someone real well or not, you're willing to help in the name of Jesus. And people see that Jesus is real to you. And they know that Jesus loves you. And they know that you experience his love. Verse 10, because you've kept my commandments to persevere, I'll also keep you from the hour of the trial, which will come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth. My friends, there's a time coming, and we're very close to it. We're in the book of Revelation. As we continue on, we'll talk about the rapture of the church. We'll talk about that in Revelation chapter 4, where John is caught up into heaven. There's a literal time where the church will be taken from this earth, and there'll be a great period called the Great Tribulation taking place, a seven-year period of time. And Jesus is saying, I'm going to remove you during that time. It's a time of the wrath of God against all ungodliness. And he's going to remove his church. We're called his bride. And we're to be with him in heaven. Some people don't believe that. Some people believe Christians will stay here on earth during the tribulation. My friends, we're called the bride of Christ. And he's not going to let his bride get beat up during the tribulation period of time. He's going to take his bride home. And we're going to have a honeymoon with him in heaven. And then we're going to return to earth with Jesus after a seven-year period of tribulation. And he's going to set up a thousand-year reign on earth. It's called the millennium. And we'll get to that in chapter 20. Great things to look forward to. We need his grace right now. We need his help right now. We don't need to drown in all that is going on. We need a biblical and heavenly perspective. Our citizenship is in heaven. And finally, we see in the verses here, in verse 11, I'm coming quickly. Yes, hold fast to what you have, that no one may take your crowns. Yes, God will reward us. Salvation is not a reward. Salvation is a gift, and we receive that free gift. We're not saved by our works. We're saved by His grace so that we can do the works He's prepared for us to do. And if we do them faithfully, and if we don't deny His name, and we hold fast to His word, He's going to recognize us when we see Him face to face. And He has crowns. Paul says, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, not only for me, but also for all who believe in Christ Jesus. Finally, he who overcomes in verse 12, I'll make him a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go out no more. I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, a new Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God, and I will write on him my new name. And he's referring back because in Philadelphia, there's temples and there's pillars, and people that pledge themselves to the pagan god or are recognized or honored, their name goes on a pillar and their accomplishment goes on the pillar and as a sense of a testimony within that pagan realm. And Jesus is saying, I tell you what, I have something. I know your name. And I have your name, and I'm going to write your name. He knows us personally, and nothing's better than to be honored by Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And He loves you, and He knows you. He who has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Again, we're going to have a few minutes of some interactive questions here with Victor in just a moment. But as you think about tonight's message, would you think about again to humble yourself? I'll humble myself. I'll go to sleep and say, God, thank you for your grace today. Thank you for your strength that saw me through this day. God, when I wake up in the morning, I'm going to ask for renewed strength. I need your strength and your power. God, when we wake up tomorrow, when you and I wake up tomorrow, we pray for a hunger and thirst for His word. And we pray for an infilling of the Holy Spirit to keep His word and to obey His word. And I also will ask you, and I will take the same challenge myself, and that is to make the Lord known right now and the rest of the time I have on earth. I feel so compelled to present the gospel message. Every time teaching, every time communicating, Jesus loves you and He died for you, and you can have all your sins forgiven by asking Christ for forgiveness. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just because He's true and holy. He'll forgive all your sins. You've been living under the burden of the guilt of your sin, and it's crushing you. And you're ashamed, and Christ can forgive you, and He can wash that all away, and He will make you new, like a new creation, He says. Ask Him for forgiveness. Ask Him now. Say, Jesus, please forgive me. And for the others like myself, we've been walking with God for quite a while as followers of Christ, but are our hearts tender? Are our hearts tender towards God and towards others? Ask the people that know you best. We need to be in a place of repentance before Christ so that we can be kind and tender-hearted, forgiving one another just as God in Christ Jesus has forgiven us. So I hope this message encouraged you, but don't go away. Victor's coming up right now, and there's a couple of things that we want to talk about as we get into the text that we just had and a few other questions that might come our way as well. So come on up, Victor. Great to have you. It's a little bit strange being up here. We're on a nicely made new platform. And again, what we're trying to do is really take tonight to prepare. And we're so grateful for our technical people that have been with us and walking with us. When we first started, we had a little iPhone and went to a camera and two cameras and new computers and a lot of other technology, but the whole intention is to be in touch with you and to let you know you're loved and to do what God's asked us to do is to build you up in the faith. Victor, as we're talking right here, how important to you personally is the Word of God, and how do you personally take in the Word of God to strengthen your walk in life? Pressure.
Yeah. No, that's a really good question. What's the best word to describe it? It's just, I don't know, pivotal. It's important. It's like crucial. It's God's word, right?
Right.
Like we were saying, like, I don't know how many people think about God's word or they refer to the Bible as God's word, but maybe don't. They think maybe parts of it are God's word and parts of it are, you know, maybe not super accurate or not. It's not all inspired or something like that. To me, it's crucial, right? It's God's word. It's not just man's opinion or wise sayings or good ideas. It's God's word.
Right.
If God really does exist and God is all powerful and all knowing, and if he's the creator of everything, you know, he knows what he's talking about, right?
Right?
He knows how everything functions, how everything works. He knows how we work,
right,
how we function. So to have the mind of God written down for us to be able to
right.
glean from, I mean, it's right. it's mind-blowing.
So you like apologetics, which is really helping to give an answer, a reasonable answer for the faith that you have in the Lord and in the Bible. What if someone comes to you and says, you know what, I just think the Bible is filled with contradictions. So that's what they say to you. How do you answer that?
The first thing you say is, show me, right? See where they can find one.
Right.
And a lot of that really is when you hear that, it's probably because they haven't really studied themselves. They've probably heard that, right? Because there are supposed contradictions, but when you really look into it, it doesn't. There is no contradiction. Sometimes they seem like they could be, but if you really, there's the beauty about the scripture, right? The rich history of Christianity. There's so much resources. Any question that somebody might have come up with that they right. think is a contradiction, I know there's been something written about it, and they're all good, solid answers. They're not, you know, just blind type of faith or flippant answers. There's really good resources for it.
Right.
So yeah.
You've been around a lot of different ministries before we got acquainted in different settings, and people would talk about the Holy Spirit,
yeah.
and then they would determine whether someone had the Holy Spirit by whether they spoke in tongues or not. So can you help people understand, how does the Holy Spirit come into a person, and how does a person know if, in fact, the Holy Spirit is dwelling within them?
Yeah, depending on what area or what flavor of Christianity you're involved with, right? So, yeah, that is one of the things, is they look for certain signs of whether you have a gift, like the gift of tongues, for example. So I've heard it where if the way you know you have the Holy Spirit is if you speak in tongues, right?
Right.
The problem with some of those things is that's why we look at Scripture, right? That's our standard. I can't think of a verse that says that, but it tells us other things about that, right?
Right?
When it talks about how we are temples of the Holy Spirit,
right?
We see examples of people being empowered by the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Greater is he who is in you than he is in the world, right?
Right.
So there's lots of verses that talk about people that are Christians that have,
right.
That where the Holy Spirit takes, it's an important role, whether he's already in us or whether we're empowered by the Holy Spirit for a certain job or task or things like that.
Right. Come this way a little bit.
Okay.
He's getting close.
I'm going to fall off. You see me fall off?
Then we'll pray for the dead and see. What's the evidence? What's the evidence that someone's filled with the Holy Spirit? What's the evidence?
So fruits of the Spirit.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's a really good one, because I think that a lot of the times we look for the outward type of things that honestly a lot of people could fake. Right. You can fake speaking in tongues. You can fake certain things, but it's hard to fake, you know, patience, love, kindness, right? Long suffering.
Right.
And those are really those are really the hard ones, right? It's, right. And so it's more of it's godliness, right? It's something that we see the Lord. Yeah, he had the power to do both, right? He had the power to forgive sins or heal someone, right? And so I think what ends up happening a lot of times is that people want an outward type of thing, you know, a splash like you were talking about the other day, right? Something that, you know, seems apparent, but really the fruits of the Spirit, I think, is a key thing.
Right. So there's what people call a baptism in the Holy Spirit. But Christians are called to be baptized in water. And so, like, for myself, I was baptized as an infant, you know, a few weeks old. How important is water baptism, and why should someone be baptized in water?
Oh, yeah. Oh, it's important because, first of all, the Lord wants us to, right? It's in Scripture to be baptized. So as a part of an outward expression of our faith, something that already happened, we know we don't get saved by baptism, but it's just you being obedient to God if you have the opportunity to do that. Like, it's also a way of expressing to the world, to around us. You're being a witness. You're not going to be ashamed of who you are as a Christian as an outward appearance of it. So it's huge, right? But it's not required for salvation. I think sometimes that gets mixed up because it is. We do want to be obedient to what God wants us to do and do that, but it's not a requirement. Same thing, you find examples of Scripture, right? So the thief on the cross, right?
Right.
Jesus tells him, today you'll be with me in paradise. Well, he didn't get dunked anywhere real quick, right? So we know that he got to go to heaven with him without being baptized.
Right. So this is say that somebody was in junior high or high school, and they really had a tender heart for God, and they got baptized, maybe even here. Times got on. They became very rebellious. They're away from God, away from the church, just living in the world. But God, through all of this, God has really just broken their heart, and they've really come back to God. They've repented. They've asked God, and they're just starting to walk with God again. And they would like just to be baptized as an outward expression, even though they were, as an outward expression of a new dedication and new direction. Would that be okay?
Yeah. I think it's okay. I think they don't need to feel like maybe it's something they need to do, right? In order to show how serious they are about renewing their life to the Lord. Mm-hmm. I don't think it needs to be something that they feel like they have to do that. But I think if it's something of the heart, it's a form of renewal, right? I think the most important thing is just the renewal of our relationship with the Lord, right? But yeah, definitely.
Yeah. So final question, and that has to do with what we're studying today. In Jesus, how he looks at the church, how he looks at our life, and how he really values the importance of the Word of God. He is the Word. And so he is looking at our lives in the very end, and he's looking at whether our faithfulness is really determined by our relationship with his Word and our faithfulness to it and to obeying it. So people tonight, maybe there's some that are like, you know what? I'm nowhere where I want to be, and how do I begin tonight? How I'm not really familiar too much with the Bible, but maybe you can help them on a certain book to read, perhaps, and just how to go about that, starting tonight and continuing on.
So there's lots of different approaches, right? So like you were saying, like maybe if they've never read the Bible, or maybe they've just heard bits and glimpses of it. So Gospel of John would be a really good one, because it shows us that Jesus is the Christ, right? Really points that out. But I think one of the important things with God's Word is sometimes it can seem like we have to read a certain amount, or, you know, get a regimen in of, you know, certain verses or whatever. But I think it's really important that even if it's in small doses, right? I mean, God's Word is so powerful, it's so amazing. One of the Scriptures talk about that I meditate on His Word, you know, day and night, right? And just thinking it over. Even one verse, if you spend a time in a verse just thinking it over and reflecting on it and seeing how it actually works and applies to our lives, that's huge, rather than thinking I need to read two pages and then I've maybe able to recall one verse, right? So really just focusing, getting in as much as you can is you know, whatever. We're all different, right? I was horrible at reading. So I would read. I would start at the top of the page. By the time I got the bottom of the page, I forgot what I had read. I got to read it over again. So it didn't really help me. But if I focused in on maybe just something that stands out to us, something that maybe touches our hearts or works with us, finding areas. There's so many areas of scripture, from creation, apologetics, you know, tons of different areas of Christianity that maybe you might find genealogies kind of boring, but you'll find prophecy really amazing. And there's tons of resources. So I would say, obviously, try to get holistic view of Christianity, of God, right? Don't jump into, maybe if you're new to Christianity, don't jump into Revelation right away. But if you've already been studying and things like that, and maybe you're thinking like, I don't know, maybe you've noticed some kind of dryness or something like that, maybe find a certain area that would be helpful for you to zone in on and help get you back into the Word.
So I love what Victor had to say on that. He'll pray in just a minute. But to capitalize on that as well, many times you get discouraged and people talk about their devotional life, and then it becomes this, you know, a driven thing that you feel, you know, you just have to do it, and it's maybe under guilt or whatever else. But think first about how devoted God is to you. Not your devotion, but he's devoted to you. We love him because he first loved us. Meditate on his great love for you. And then as you start to read, the Bible is his love letter to us. It's his love letter to us, and he wants to talk to you, and he wants to talk to me. So be excited about that as you approach the Word of God. We also have our church app. So Calvary Chapel Northwest, on our church app, we have several versions of the Bible, and a few of them are in audio form, so you can listen. I learn audio-wise by listening, and so I'm an audio learner. So listening to God's Word, sometimes just driving and listening to the Bible being read, it's very helpful, and that may work for you as well. So just be blessed and be excited that we have the Word of God. We also have a daily devotional called Discipleship Living available on our website. Please pray that we can gather together on Sunday. It's dependent upon the weather, and we'll post on our website by 8 o'clock what our plans are. But we're planning to be out here at 10 o'clock. We hope you can join us and bring a chair, if you would, and a blessed time together. And Victor, will you close in prayer tonight?
Good and gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for tonight. We thank you for this Bible study. We thank you for just the message Pastor Tom brought this evening, and just how it can be an encouragement. It can be even an exhortation to some. It can be a refocusing for us. It can be maybe just something that moves us towards you, Lord, back to you, Lord. Father, we pray that your Holy Spirit would take what was delivered tonight and have it just be something, you know, very, very impactful, very fruitful in our lives, Lord. We pray that your Holy Spirit would give us the strength to live out the truths that we've heard. We thank you, Lord. We pray that we would also just be a reflection of your grace and your love. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen.
Amen.